So today we're discussing this study that was featured on CNN the other day, talking about the Dirty Dozen. Pesticide contamination on your food. Is it real or not? Welcome to the Row by Row Gardening Show, the best dadgum gardening show on the internet, where we talk about gardening, a little bit of cooking, and growing your own food. Now sit back and enjoy. Hey, I'm Greg.
I'm Sheila.
Welcome to our Row by Row Garden Show, where we talk all things growing your own food. We're located here in South Georgia. We have a gardening show every Thursday night on YouTube, Facebook, and we sell gardening supplies and tools, everything you need to be successful growing your own food.
And seed in Zone 8B.
Yep. So join us if you would. We'd love to have you every week, and we just kind of keep it informal, bounce things around. If you'd like to grow your own food or you're interested in maybe growing your own food, we are your huckleberries. How about that?
And we've got a great group on Facebook.
Yes, our Row by Row group on Facebook. If you're not a part of that, you got to join it. Several thousand strong, seasoned gardeners on there that can help you, answer your questions, or help your journey along the way be successful. So, great group of folks that we're so proud to be a part of. Mm-hmm.
What you got going on in the garden?
So I think the cold weather's gone. I think we ended up our cold weather this week.
I just uncovered my plants.
Yep, our cold weather, we had down to the 30. We got down to 30 here a couple nights of pretty good frost. Mm. I had things covered, so I think I'm okay. But now it's time to get serious.
I had a few squash by the dust.
Covered my squash, I think.
Well, I covered two. But
really?
Yeah. Well, I didn't cover the first time.
All right. I covered mine. I think I'm good. But now it's time to get serious, folks.
I'm going to plant my flowers now.
I'm predicting the cold weather's over with.
You are?
I'm predicting it's over with.
Ooh, that may come back to bite you.
Predicting it's over with. We got an early Easter this year. And that normally tells us we got an early spring. So I'm all in with the cold weather's over with. I looked at the 10-day forecast. Mm-hmm. We look good to the end of March.
What day's Easter on?
11th, is it the 1st, 10th, or 11th, somewhere in there? 12th, first part of
Do you know what April 11th is?
I do.
Oh, okay.
I do. It's my daughter's birthday.
Just making sure you remember that.
So anyway, we got a lot of things going on. We got the greenhouse full of stuff that we need to be planting.
Yeah.
Because we jumped the gun a little bit on getting things out there. So we got plants we need to sell. Everything is going to be Johnny get you going within next week. I got corn I need to plant.
Mm-hmm. We've still got the plugs, the brassicas, the tomatoes, the peppers. We'll have those through May. So if you haven't got your order, now's the time.
Yep. We've got a lot of exciting stuff going on here. We got sweet potato pre-sales, sweet potato slip pre-sales going on. Seeds, plants, sweet potatoes, you name it, we got it going on.
Let me hear about my strawberries. Yeah, I've had an issue with my strawberries and the birds.
We made it. Both of us made a wonderful strawberry crop this year.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. So I painted the rocks. That didn't work. I mean, I think it helped some, but it didn't work. So
she painted rocks like strawberries. And
the birds were supposed to pick on the hard rocks and leave the strawberries on. I think it did.
Sounds like a good way to waste about 3 hours to me.
Well, see, I like to paint, so it was not a waste of my time.
We got strawberry painted rocks throughout the garden now.
But I did order from the A store some row
netting,
and it has worked awesome.
So it kept the birds from getting
to last you. Year I had netting that had like big holes in it, and it didn't work. But this is solid. And it lets the water in, the sunlight in.
So this is insect netting instead of bird netting.
I think, yeah.
Yeah, that's what they classify it as.
Yeah.
And you think that's just the key to it is getting the smaller netting.
Yeah, they can't get to them.
Mm-hmm. Makes sense.
Yeah. Anyway, so exciting.
Yeah, we got a big strawberry crop. It's sweet. That channel of variety to me, we plant them in the fall, you guys. We grow them as annuals. And that channel of variety to me is by far the best variety to grow in the home garden.
I freeze-dried a bunch last week. I'm at freeze-drying, drying. I love my freeze-dryer.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing cilantro, and I did my warrior bunching onions. Mm-hmm. We had some of that last night.
Yep.
Yeah, I can see it going all the time.
All the time. Every night I hear this going, it's the freeze dryer going.
Actually, freeze dryer is louder than my dehydrator was.
Yeah, it's pretty loud. All right, folks. So if you kind of paid attention to the news, which to be honest with you, sometimes I don't, but I was watching something the other night that caught my attention. on CNN, and this has been about 3 weeks ago, but you can still Google this.
You don't watch the news.
I don't even watch news. I was on the website, and I seen this come up. I went to CNN site. I seen this, and you can still Google it, and it'll come up. So, the Dirty Dozen. And they was talking about fruits and vegetables, the Dirty Dozen, the most contaminated dozen vegetables that was on this list.
This was scary. When you sent me that link and I started reading it.
Yeah.
Which a lot of the stuff that's on that list, and we'll go over it, we grow our own, but that is really scary.
It's scary to you, isn't it?
It was very scary.
Why did it scare you? Because it was meant to do that. It was meant to awaken you and to awaken your senses to there may be an issue, correct?
Yeah, and you looking at the things that these pesticides on these fruits and vegetables cause, mm-hmm. like problems with the cognitive development in children, type 2 diabetes, mm-hmm. cancer. And you think about, you're always asking yourself, these issues we see in children these days, why didn't we see them 20 years ago or when our kids were smaller?
Right.
And it's, I think it's related.
You think so?
I think so.
That's interesting. Now, to tell everybody where we're at on this, her and I did not discuss this pre-show for a reason.
Yeah.
We did not, I sent her the link and I just told her what I was going to do on the show on, but we know where neither one of us are going with this. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do that on purpose to make sure that we've seen each other's view on this right here. Okay. So that's interesting from what I'm hearing from you.
Yeah. I mean,
it was really alarming to you.
It was very alarming. Yeah.
So, me being the person I am, I take very little at face value. I don't trust anything. So, I did a really dug in. I mean, I dug in on this right here, hardcore. Because I want to know the details of what's going on. Because I'm that kind of guy that's got to know every little detail before I can make up my mind. You don't give me information and I just take it at face value.
No,
that's just not who I am.
You don't believe me or...
I don't take anything.
Unless there's 10 worthy websites.
Right. I've got to have validation on the information you give me. I'm that way with my political views. I'm that way all the way around. So I dug in on this, and I've got some interesting insight on this.
All right.
So first thing let's go over is what is the Dirty Dozen?
Okay.
So they came out, CNN, and they had this nice little graphic right here, and it looks just like this right here, or similar to this. There's actually a link on that article, the Dirty Dozen on CNN, that links you to the Environmental Working Group, which is a lobbying organization or a nonprofit organization, whichever way you want to phase that, in Washington, D.C. And that's where the majority of this information came from. So I could just imagine that.
Right, and they're dedicated to using information to protect public health and the environment.
But let's be honest.
And they're nonprofit.
They are a lobbying group. Okay.
Okay.
They got an office in Washington, D.C. They use their funds to facilitate their ideas or what they want to go along. They use that, they use money and they use their impression to get their ideas out there. That's what lobbyists do. It's okay. They are funded nonprofits, so people give money or organizations or charitable organizations give money to them right there, and that's the way they're funded. All right, so we move past that. So this information is linked back from CNN to this Environmental Working Group, and that's where you will find this information right here. So this is the Dirty Dozen, according to the Environmental Working Group. And we're going to go over these right here.
So number one is the most...
Yes.
And then number...
Contaminated.
Right. And they've added two new ones this year. It was the top 10.
Right.
Now it's the...
Dirty Dozen.
Yeah.
All right. Number one is strawberries, which I thought was...
Wow.
Interesting. I didn't know that. Number two, spinach. I can see spinach, and I'll tell you the reason why. Spinach is a leafy vegetable, so you have more room there for pesticides to get on it than you do a fruit. So I can see spinach. Kale, collard greens, mustard, same way. It's a leafy vegetable. You got way more area to contaminate. Peaches. Didn't see that one. Pears. For sure didn't see that one. Nectarines. Didn't see that one as well. And Lord have mercy, we got apples on there.
Oh my goodness.
All right, grapes is number eight. Number nine is bell and hot peppers.
I can see that.
Interesting that it's just bell and hot peppers.
Mm-hmm.
All right, number 10 is cherries. Didn't see that one. Number 11, and we all love our blueberries. And number 12 is green beans. I can see green beans because the green beans have a lot of insects.
And blueberries and green beans are just added in 2023.
Yep. So there you have it, folks. If you eat any of those in the last few weeks. Now you're worried that you're going to die because you've eaten contaminated food.
I am. I'm like...
Now you want to avoid these fruit, these foods, right?
Well, what's the solution?
That we will get to. Okay. So let's go. They also list the clean 15. This makes you, we've got you beat down now and you're all worried. Now we're going to give you 15 that are considered clean by the Environmental Working Group. And those clean 15 start with number one, avocados.
I love
interesting because most of your avocados are imported.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting. Sweet corn
that's
is number
interesting because I thought they...
Let me tell you, that is flawed science there. There is probably no other produce crop that is sprayed more often than sweet corn. Here's the issue, folks. Sweet corn, they tested the outside of the husk. When they spray pesticides, it doesn't necessarily get in down to the corn as much as it is on the husk. So I can see how that happened, but...
Speaking of the testing, let me interject this.
Whoa.
So when the USDA does testing, they peel or scrub and wash before they test.
Mm-hmm.
Now when the FDA tests, they only remove the dirt.
Okay.
So there's, you know, different people testing here different ways.
I got something to add to that, but I'm going to wait just a minute, okay? Sweet corn. So I disagree with the sweet corn thing, but we're going to move ahead. Pineapple, number three. Pineapple, most of those are imported, interesting as well. Number four, clean is onions.
I know, I love onions.
Now, onions make sense to me because onions are in the ground, so you can't get pesticides on when you spray onions. I get that somewhat. Mm-hmm. Papaya. Number six, sweet peas, and this is the frozen ones that they tested. It's clean 15. Number seven, asparagus. Number eight, honeydew melon.
Well, thick skin.
Thick skin. Number nine, kiwi. Again, that's a lot that's imported. Number 10, cabbage. Boy, this one struck me off. So our cabbage is clean, but our mustard, collards, and turnips.
Yeah, that don't make sense.
Doesn't make any... Number 11, mushrooms. I get that because you can't spray anything on mushrooms anyway.
Yeah.
Number 12 is mangoes. Mm-hmm. Number 13, sweet potatoes. Again, 13 sweet potatoes is a root crop, so you're not getting the pesticides on. I get that. 15, watermelons. You got that waxy buildup on the outside. You're not going to get any residue there. 15, carrots. Carrots are in the ground, so you're not going to get the pesticides on. I get all that. So now we've got y'all worked up. We've showed you 12 dirty dozen. We showed you 15 clean things to eat. Now let's dive into this a little bit more. All right, so this environmental working group that has presented all this data and that CNN has picked up based everything off a United States Department of Agriculture research paper. If you go to this CNN site or the, if you go to the CNN site, they give reference to this document this research came from, and it's the United States Department of Agriculture. We're going to preface that and say USDA. When I did that, it carried me to a 2019 report. Okay, this was listed a few days ago, a couple weeks ago, and now we're referencing back. All this information evidently came back from a 19 report. If not so, CNN made a mistake on that and put the wrong reference down there. But I'm going to go with what they put down. They put down a report that was done in 2019. All right. So, and we're going to give everybody the links to these right here so that you can go and do your fair amount of due diligence on it as well. So that's fine. Look here, this report that they got this information from is 292 pages long.
Wow. Did you look at it?
I did look at it and I spent a fair amount of time on it. Did I cover everything in there? No, probably not. But if you want to go over there and look at the 292 pages, that's fine. I went through there and got information out of there that I thought was
so
cool.
So what's the gist here?
All right. That's where we're trying to get to here, the gist. All right. So according to this report, 99% of the samples they tested had residues below the tolerances.
Tolerance. Now that's a good word.
And I highlighted tolerance just for you.
What is tolerance?
One man's tolerance is not another man's tolerance. This is government tolerances right here.
Do you know what? When I looked up that, it's the legal limits. What is legal? It doesn't mean it's safe healthy, but it's what we tolerate on our food.
Right. It's what the government says we should tolerate.
Yeah, what the government says we should tolerate.
All right. And then 42.5% having no detectable residue at all. 42.5%. Wow. I thought that was an interesting figure here. All right. Hot pepper. On the hot pepper, y'all will find this interesting right here. The data shows the residue profiles for domestic and imported crops are significantly different.
Right, because a lot of these pesticides that the U.S. allows a tolerance of, the European countries do not.
Or Mexico, which is the majority of where our produce comes
from. Yeah, so they've banned them from being, and we allow or have a tolerance.
Well, now you're on two different sides of the spectrum here. You're correct. European is more strict than we are. Mm-hmm. Mexico is way more lenient than we are. The majority of our import, which we import around 15% of our produce into the United States. So the majority of that 15% comes from South America and Mexico, not the European Union.
Oh, okay.
So, but you're correct. They are stricter. So we don't have these tolerances down there that we
have. They don't have tolerances.
They don't have tolerances here, nor do they have registration for application on these vegetables. And I hope we're not getting too deep here. Keep me from getting too deep, because you know how I am. All right. So the residues from the domestic and the imports is totally different here. Mm-hmm. I thought that was interesting. With 15.4% of the samples from Mexico contaminated and only 6% from the USA. So 10% more of the samples took were contaminated that came from Mexico versus USA. Mm. Okay, so we got that out of the way. All right, did you know that chlordane, which is an old chemical, and some of you old timers remember chlordane. Chlordane was outlawed in the 1980s, was detected in
green beans.
0.5% of cilantro.
Of cilantro?
Cilantro.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And one sample they did of basil and two samples of mustard greens contained residues of 20 different pesticides. Mm. And also the most frequently detected residue was propiconazole. This is in rice. Now, let me state this right here. The most frequently detected residue in rice was propiconazole, which was detected 213 times. Now, that didn't mean anything to you. Propiconazole is a common fungicide used for leaf spot in farming. Mm-hmm. I know exactly what it is. I've used my fair share of it. But I thought it was interesting that that was in rice, of all things.
Yeah.
All right. So what is the most contaminated vegetable that was, and when we say vegetable, we're going to put fruits and vegetables. What do you think was the most contaminated vegetable or fruit on the list?
I thought it was strawberries.
That was the most contaminated. I'm talking about, let me back up. This is the amount of how many different pesticides were found. Mm-hmm. Basil. They were more different pesticides found on basil than they were any other crop.
And basil's one of the easiest things you can grow.
Yep. What's the second one? Cilantro. I thought that was extremely interesting. All right. Okay, folks. So we have covered that right there, and we've got you kind of up to date on all that. Now let's dig in a little bit further. Let's just crawl in.
Okay.
So you look at this right here, and you say, that's all very interesting information, isn't it? Is that good information? That's the second question I asked. Is it good information? So then I started looking at their sampling methods. And this is where I went down that deep rabbit hole. All right, so let me give y'all an example of the way this testing is done. During 2019, the monthly number of samples assigned for this report to come out of each state is listed here. And I'm just going to name a couple of them. Do you know how many samples was done per month in Florida? Give it a shot.
20.
7.
Oh my goodness.
So they pulled 7 samples per month just out of the state of Florida. Do you all know how many thousands of truckloads come out of Florida per day? And they pulled 7 samples per month in the state of California, they pulled 13 samples per month.
Wow, so now I've got all real scared for now you're saying no reason.
All this reason, and I think we've got flawed data.
Flawed data.
I don't think we have a representative sample to make any conclusions we have got here.
But what we do know is that toxins that some of these places use are intended to kill living organisms.
Correct. Those, hence the word pesticide.
Right. So they are dangerous.
They are dangerous.
They are known to cause cancer, diabetes.
Correct.
Problems in children, hormonal problems.
Correct.
So, are we ready for a solution?
The solution I have is not easy, but I will tell you this right here. This is the conclusion that I came to. Don't expect your government to give you information to make good, informed decisions about what we've talked about today, because the science, the reporting is flawed.
So it's meant to scare you.
It's meant to scare you. Now, I'm not saying some of it's not legit, mm-hmm. but we just don't have enough data there to draw a conclusion because the information is not there. And this, we go back to this right here. I guess I'm trying to say this right here. Those people in Washington, D.C., I don't think have got enough sense to know exactly what they're trying to accomplish. Now, us people, country folks like we are, I got enough sense to know that these people in Washington shouldn't be telling me what I need to be doing.
Or what your tolerance level should be.
Or what my tolerance level should be. So the whole conclusion to what I'm going to come to is don't rely on the government or anybody else to tell you your food is safe or that it's unsafe, because we don't have the evidence to do that. I think that's the reason more of us should be growing our own food and in charge of our own destiny instead of relying on this right here. You had, correct me if I'm wrong, you had the assumption that the government was testing all your produce to make sure it was safe.
Yeah, I didn't look at the testing samples.
The government is not making sure that your produce is safe.
Yeah.
They're just doing these small representative samples out there to drink these 292 page report that you can draw no conclusion from.
Interesting. But besides growing your own food, if you cannot grow your own food, you can try to buy organic, which can be pricey.
I would go a little step further than that. There is some problems with that too. So some of these large farms out there, they may not do. I would buy from local farmers.
And just ask that local farmer. And the local farmer may not be certified organic, but a lot of them use organic practices. So just ask the farmer what they do or don't do. If you do buy something that's not organic, or even if you do buy organic, be sure to wash them and scrub them really good.
And to know where your food comes from. That's the main thing. And whether you grow it yourself or you get it somewhere else. I'm going to add one more thing.
All right.
Because I can't stand it anymore. And this 292 page report, I'm going to tell you how flawed I think the report is. The most widely used class of chemicals, And this 292 page report, the most widely used insecticide in the world, the class of chemistry is called neonicotinoids.
Mm-hmm.
Neonicotinoids was not mentioned in this report at all.
Oh, really?
I did not see it mentioned in there. So think about what I just said. The most widely used insecticide is not even mentioned in here. Now, is there a reason behind that? Mm. Or is it simply overlooked and they didn't know any better?
Or did they not test for it?
I don't know. Flawed information. Therefore, when you see anything on the news talking about whatever, especially with your food and everything, question the source, question everything, and try to make a good informed decision. And at the end of the day, make a good informed decision.
Hmm.
I think that was good stuff. Okay. I enjoyed digging into that. I didn't really know what I was going to find. I was amazed at what I found.
So did you find something different than you thought you were going to find?
I did. I thought that they did. I would have presumed, because I really knew this, that there was a lot more oversight over pesticide contamination than what they are.
Mm.
There is basically zero oversight for pesticide application. Now, for everybody jumps on the bandwagon here, food safety, which is organisms like
mm-hmm.
food, it's a different story. The government actually does a pretty good job on food safety. We're talking about organisms that can make you sick and deadly sick.
Salmonella,
E. those companies. They have done a pretty good job in the last few years doing all this lot tracking and tracking everything on that, and food safety to a certain extent.
Yeah, food safety for the workers in the field gathering.
Yeah, they've done a decent amount on that right there, but don't confuse that with pesticide contamination. It's two completely different issues, and this one right here, the government has zero oversight on that, in my opinion. I would be willing to debate that with anybody.
Hmm. Yep. So please add your comments, and Greg will address them.
Yep. I know enough to be dangerous about this right here, but I've been involved.
Don't ask too deep of a question.
I've been involved with this right here on the commercial side of it enough. I know where the water leaks at. So anyway, I hope everybody enjoyed that as much as I did.
You off your soapbox?
I'm off my soapbox now.
Garden Spotlight.
Garden Spotlight. All right.
And I left the pictures in the other office, but we're gonna throw them up. Thanks for our camera guy, Jared. He'll throw them up for me. Alex Edwards. And she's in Spring Hill.
You sure it's a she? Because we got this computer.
No, I'm not sure.
It could be a he or she.
It could be a he or she. Yeah. Alex Edwards. Springfield, Zone 9. Has tomatoes, potatoes, onions, leeks, cucumbers, zucchini. They have a high tunnel. They have a bucket farm. Fruits, and they have, you want to read that right there? I have my glasses on.
Oh, they doing something I want to do. Oh, yeah. So, they have developed this thing called First Fruits, which is a food program that she's involved in. He says, I'm tomato. I guess it is a him. I'm sorry for that. We never know. All right. They feed 25 to 40 people every Wednesday evening. How about that? And it's showing here a photo in their carport. How awesome is that? Man, do it.
And it's not that huge.
Yep. They close up the free snap. I'm closed up for the free snap at the moment. They have 49 hot snatters, 60 red snappers, several other varieties. Thank you for your business and all you do for your customers.
But read this, a food program involved in Tomato Man.
Yep, Tomato Man, yep. He is the Tomato Man. I think it's awesome, Alex, that y'all share and do something good for the community with the people there feeding them. Awesome. I'm envious of that. I should do more of those kind of things right there.
You should.
I should.
Corny joke. I'm going to go ahead and do that.
Let's do the corny joke.
Now, if you watched our live Sunday night, you may have heard this one.
And I'm going to tell you how horrible I am. I'm going to be doing good if I remember it, and I heard it.
Because Aline Smith, we had the Head Family Farm from Alabama on our show, and Zach does dad jokes or dad jokes pretty regular, and I can what do you call it? Anyway, I love to listen to people's jokes. So Aline sent this in on Sunday night. Why do people take a mushroom to a party?
Oh yeah, I remember this one. It's a fungi.
Because he is a fungi.
What's a fungi? That's one of the best ones I've heard in a long time.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, the old goat drawing.
Yep.
So we have the old goat here on the set somewhere, not right here. And last week, I don't know if you watched, but because of the, I got a little tickle.
Yeah.
Very played a bad joke on me. I forgot to do the drawing.
You was lucky just to get through that show last week.
That was hard for me to get through the show. I really struggled with that. I still haven't paid you back.
No, I hope not.
So this is the drawing from last week's show.
And the winner is Robert Tuket. How do you pronounce that?
T-U-C-E-K.
Robert, we apologize for butchering your name there, but send us your shipping information to customservicehallstools.com. We'll get you a fine present sent to me.
And then for this week...
We have... Oh, another one in long now. Oh, this is Michelle Hutchison. Michelle, thank you for having a good name I can pronounce. Thank you, and send us your information to shipping information to customservicehallstools.com.
And we'll get you a prize out.
Yep.
So be sure to comment in the comments below where the old goat is, and he is quite hidden this week.
And let us know your opinion. I would love to know your opinion what we talked about today. I really would. What is your opinion on that? Do you see it the way I do or not? If you do, if you read something in that report, if you read that 292 pages and you see something I didn't see, let us know.
And what are you doing about it?
Yep, absolutely. Thank you for joining us. Hope you enjoyed it. Have a blessed day and get out there and get dirty.